Hello and welcome to the Backflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on at @Backflips_Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/Backflips and Nerds and our brand new website, backflipsandnerds.com. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in our previous episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably be more in-depth and have a lot more analysis, but here in Backflips and Nerds, we decided to try and do something a little different, inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk all about their team. We've got no clever order for it. It's literally who's available at the time. So without further delay, joining me this time to talk all about the Oakland A's is Matt Smith. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for inviting me on.
No, it's good. It's good. I have to say, I kind of... Your website was one of the things that really pushed me into baseball a lot more than I thought it would. It was a lot about Zach. I always forget his name, and I really should look it up. Zach, I think it's Hempel or Hempel's book.
Hempel, yep.
Yeah, it's his book that got me into it. But then I managed to discover your website and just went through all the guides on there. So do you want to just let people know what your website is before we start?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for that. It's baseballgb.co.uk. Started it, back in 2006. So this will be my 12th year of kind of covering Major League Baseball, British baseball, Great Britain international baseball, and just generally kind of life as a British baseball fan. So yeah, it's good to hear that you found it useful. And I really enjoy running it.
Yeah, Matt does a fantastic job of the coverage you just stated there. And also there's plenty of guides on there for new fans that are wanting to get into baseball. And I certainly pestered Matt to begin with when I started watching some various rules and various things that were happening to ask him. And you're very open on Twitter and very happy to chat, which is excellent for fans out there.
That's no problem. Yeah, we're always happy to help people get into the game.
Cool. So, let's talk a bit about your Oakland A's then. So, obviously, the recent news about Sonny Gray starting the year on the DL, that's got to be a huge blow.
Yeah, it's not good, especially after last season, because it was the fact that Sonny Gray, he started the year, I think he was sick, so he missed opening night. And then from there, he was either ineffective or injured last season. So we came into spring training this year thinking, well, hopefully Sonny will be fine, because he's really our main key star player, and to have him go down with an injury, they're still not sure entirely how serious it is and how much time he'll miss. Initially they were saying maybe end of April, but it sounds like it might be a bit earlier, but it's certainly a bad note to start things off on.
Yeah, it's not the best at all, especially when you look at the rotation. Some of the guys that are in there are actually fairly strong, and we'll come on to that later. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's more from a trade point of view for Sonny Gray rather than his actual performance and the team going forward.
That's right. It was a bit strange last season, because as we were kind of waiting for Sonny Gray to come back and to get fit, to hopefully perform well on the mound, the subtext to all of that was, well, yeah, we want him to do well so we can get rid of the bloke, which is a bit like, fattening up a pig for slaughter or something like that, it seems a bit like. That's the Oakland A's. That's how we are.
Yeah, it's taking a roll. So what made you an Oakland A's fan then?
Well, listen to some of your other podcasts. I'm kind of similar to the other guys you've talked to, really, in that what made me an A's fan was kind of all linked to how I started watching baseball, really. So I started watching baseball back in 1998, just as a general sports fan and seeing it on in the TV listings on Channel 5, and was hooked right from the start. Didn't understand most of it, all the stats flying across the screen and the terminology, but that kind of made it all the more intriguing for me. So I was kind of hooked from the start and decided that it would be much more fun if I supported a team, but had no real reason to pick one. So I know some of the other guys you've spoken to have kind of started on a basis of they went to America and therefore picked the team they first saw. But for me, I just happened to, I was watching some highlights on one of the Channel 5 broadcasts, and basically I'm from Norwich. So our football team plays in yellow and green. And I saw the A's on one of the highlights and saw their green and gold. And that was close enough to Norwich's colour. So that was as random a reason as I had, as good a reason as I had to pick a team.
No, that's excellent. I like that. So that would have been the days of what? Jeremy Goss and... Who was that then?
That was when I started back in the early 90s, all Jeremy Goss and Mark Robbins and Chris Sutton and all those guys in our UEFA Cup days, yes.
Fun days. I remember if we've got any American listeners, but wagging school so I could watch the Inter Milan game, actually.
Yes, I remember that one well, yeah.
Fun times. So a lot of folks have mentioned the Channel 5. It's a shame, actually, that because John's recently gone through a move and his internet's currently down at the moment. He's not able to get on because a lot of the guys have really mentioned Channel 5. It'd be so nice to have something like that again. But how do you catch up with your baseball now then? Are you using MLB TV, I'm guessing?
Yeah, certainly. Like all, you know, most of us, MLB TV is an absolute lifeline for us. So every year on my website, I do an annual kind of article about the new subscriptions from a British perspective in terms of, you know, how much it will cost us, what games we can see. And I always make a point when I do that in kind of stopping and saying, you know, it is such a wonderful thing that we have access to the service, because you only have to go back 10 years and, you know, we didn't really have good broadband, or at least affordable broadband, and the quality wasn't so good. So to be in a situation today where we can follow every game, any game we like, live or on demand in very good quality, is a real bonus. And I tend to watch it. I've just got a cheap Roku box, so I just stick that in my TV. That's a really quick and easy way to link it up. And so I obviously follow the A season that way. I also like dipping in and out of different games. That's a lot of fun, where you can watch a couple of innings of one starter's game and then move on to another. And the other thing I would add to it, actually, is that although I do watch a lot of MLB TV, I also listen to a lot of the radio coverage on the game day audio part of it too. I kind of think, a lot like cricket, the kind of medium really suits the sport, to be honest. Just as we have Test Match Special in cricket, the the radio coverage is really good. The one thing you have to bear in mind with that is, as we saw with the 5 Live coverage a few years ago, when you're dealing with the local American radio stations, absolutely everything is sponsored by some Mickey Mouse company. So you have to deal with a lot of adverts. But certainly from an A's fan point of view, you know, I listen to the guys on the A's radio commentary a lot. So we have Ken Korak, Vince Quattrone, Ray Fossey sometimes. And I certainly feel, as a British fan, that listening to those guys is kind of part of me being part of that A's fan community. So if you're an MLB TV subscriber and you just tend to watch the videos, or if you're someone who doesn't really or can't afford to go to the expense of the full MLB TV right now, definitely have a look at the game day audio side, because that's a really fun way of following the games.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever done it. I usually I end up sort of catching the start of the games when I'm doing the washing up, just finishing off, and we put our daughter to bed, and then I come down and then actually start watching the game for real, sort of the third inning onwards, usually for the 6 o'clock games. But yeah, I think this season I'm going to make a conscious effort to actually listen to the audio, because I do like that Test Match Special type affair, where it's, as I said before, the ebb and flow of the game, and it's just going back and forth, and it's that nice background noise as well, the burble of the crowd. I think it'd be really good to listen to.
Yeah, it's kind of very much more kind of conservational kind of style, really, you know. Like I say, it does kind of make me feel a bit closer to the A's fans by listening to the radio coverage.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good idea. So you mentioned watching other games. Do you go for anything in particular? Do you look for a good pitching matchup? Do you look if Mike Trout's playing, etc.?
Yeah, it tends to be the pitching matchup. So I'll go through, especially, you know, we get a good number of day games. So rather than always having to stay up late at night, I tend to look through the earlier games and see which pitcher is on, and kind of dip between different pitchers that way.
Is there any teams that you sort of really you missed out on last season? I think for me it was probably the Twins. I don't think I watched a single Twins game last year.
Yeah, probably for good reason, to be honest. I mean, I've got a few good guys. For example, Max Kepler, the German outfielder, you know, he's quite a good guy from a European point of view to have a look at. But probably the Twins would be quite high on my list of teams I conveniently overlooked, I think.
That's fair enough. Right, and go back to your A's then. So what happened last season then?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, actually. I had to really stop and think about it, because it was kind of the epitome of a forgettable season, unfortunately. The one thing you could say, 2015, we lost 94 games, and last year we lost 93. So you can say progress, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. To be honest, we went into it with low expectations, and we kind of didn't even really live up to those, really. As we mentioned, Sonny Gray was injured, so that was a big blow. We hadn't done a lot over the off-season. We made a few underwhelming signings, things like bringing back Jed Lowry, signing Yonder Alonso, who's a first baseman without any power. So they kind of worked out as we expected them to, which was they didn't really offer us much. We did bring in a few useful guys. So Chris Davis came in, the outfielder. We got him from the Brewers, and he hit 40-plus home runs and kind of immediately became a bit of a fan favourite, which is really important as an Oakland A's fan because our guys tend to leave quite quickly. And certainly last year, we had Josh Reddick, who'd been with the team for years, Coco Crisp, who'd been with us for years. They both left during the season. So it was nice to have someone like Chris Davis come in and kind of become a fan favourite. And the other one that came in was obviously Rich Hill. So he did really well. I think it was four or five starts at the end of 2015 with your Red Sox, didn't he?
Yeah, he did very
well. Yeah, and so we took a punt on him on a one-year deal. I think it was for about $6 million guaranteed. He was tremendous for us. And kind of like the Sonny Gray situation, it was always a case of, well, if he does well for us, we're going to be trading him. And we did. But that was, you know, it was fun to watch him. And we got some good guys back for him in a deal where he went to the Dodgers alongside Josh Reddick. So, you know, and alongside that, so a few of the younger players came through, Kendall Graveman, Sean Manaea on the mound. They did well. They took their lumps. They were a bit up and down, but showed promise. Jarrell Cotton, he was one of the guys we got for Rich Hill and Reddick. He came on and did well. And also Ryan Healy, who played third base last year. Looks like he'll be at first this year. He came in, hit some home runs. So, you know, there were some brighter points at the end of the season, but it was underwhelming as we kind of expected.
Yeah, I think, like you say, with the Rich Hill signing, it was definitely a, we'll take a punt on him and see what we can get for him. I think there's probably, as we've already discussed, the fact that they wanted Sonny Gray to be fit and really make that effort to push him through as much as they could to show how good he could be again, and then get as much as they could back for him. So with Manaea then, do you reckon he's going to be your number one starter then for the year going forwards?
Possibly Kendall Graveman, because Graveman was kind of fit and healthy all of last year, so has kind of slightly above Manaea in a pecking order. I think Manaea is probably a slightly better pitcher, but Manaea made, I think, something like 24, 25 starts. He had a few injury issues and has had in his development as a prospect, so probably Graveman. And, you know, if he's our ace, that kind of shows where we are as a team at the moment. But there we go.
Do you want to play a small game?
Go on and fire away.
Right. So the worst in the AL West was obviously yourselves. The worst in the NL West was the Padres. Okay. So I've looked at your team stats.
Yep.
And I just want you to tell me who you think was best last year. Okay.
Oh dear. Go on.
So who had the most runs last year, Padres or A's?
I'm going A's.
It was the Padres.
Oh, blimey.
They were 21st. The A's were 28th in MLB. So hits, who had the most?
Well, I'll go Padres then.
No, it was the A's.
Oh, they were 25th.
The Padres were 30th. The Padres are dead last. Okay, well, home runs.
You made them count a bit more then.
Exactly, home runs.
Well, I know we didn't hit. Well, we hit a few. I'm going to keep going A's and see if I get lucky at one point.
It was a Padres.
Ah.
Flip-flopping at the minute. Padres are 20th and the A's are 21st. On-base percentage then, which the A's were obviously notorious for.
Well, we were notorious for, but we were poor with it this year. So I'm going to go Padres this time.
It was the A's, 28th.
Ah.
Padres were 30th. Now he has the tricky ones then. ERA.
Oakland.
Padres. 25th. Oakland with 20. Padres 23rd. Oakland with 25th. Strikeouts.
I'm going Oakland. I'm just going to keep saying Oakland if I get one right.
It was the Padres 25th and Oakland with 27th in strikeouts. Okay, then. Balks.
Oakland.
It was a draw, 3 each.
Oh, well, I'll count that as a half point.
So, I mean, essentially, they were both pretty bad. But
yes.
I have to say, at the end of the year, I think there was more hope for Oakland, but I think the Padres have flip-flopped it a bit now with the amount they've got in, especially the international signings. But heading forward then to next year, this year, what's the big plan then? What's going to happen?
Well, I'm not sure. The thing is with the A's, we always try to avoid the middle ground. So we don't tend to go for a complete rebuild, such as what the Padres have done. We always try to kind of keep some veteran guys in there just in case we can push on. So to be honest, at best, if we could get to 500 you know, that for us at the moment, being honest, that would be a good season for us. I think that would be a bit of a struggle, but that's something to aim for. We have made some decent signings, I think. We've brought back a few kind of oldies, if you like, in terms of Rajah Davis, Santiago Casilla, Adam Rosales. They've all previously played for Leo, so they'll be on a team. And at least they're guys who, especially Davis and Rosales, they're fun players to watch. And I know it sounds a bit odd to talk about a team that's possibly going to lose a lot, but you do want some guys on there that you kind of can, I don't know, enjoy watching at least because of the way they play the game. So they'll definitely fit into that category. We brought in Trevor Plouffe from the Twins. He's probably a bit of a placeholder at third base for one of our best prospects, a guy called Matt Chapman, who hopefully will be called up at some point. But he's going to come in. We'll see how he goes. We've also brought in Matt Joyce, who was with the Pirates last year. Really a platoon player, I would say. He'll hit against righties and we'll probably get switched out against lefties. But yeah, I mean, you know, we are where we are. We're not really going to be too competitive, I don't think. But there are at least some younger guys on the team who hopefully will continue to develop. And like I say, people like Rajah Davis and Adam Rosales will hopefully, you know, bring a bit of fun to the team at least.
Yeah, I think they also might bring in a few prospects or a few decent players as well. Rajah's only got a one-year deal, hasn't he?
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, he certainly looks the type of, especially after what he did for Cleveland last year and almost the absolute hero of the World Series. Yeah. You know, it will probably be a case of get to July and then see what we can get back for him.
Yeah. There must be quite a few names on that list that are going to be in that ballpark as well. The ones that you're going to shift along and try and get some of the prospects in for.
Yep, that's true. I mean, again, it depends what happens to Sonny Gray, because he's the kind of headline guy, really. If he can get back to his, what would it have been now, 2015 form, where he was in the Cy Young conversation, then, you know, he's definitely going to be off and that's going to be a 3 or 4 player package coming back. But we'll just have to wait and see. I think that the best we can hope for is just, you know, try to get off to a half-decent start and see how the season goes from there.
Do you, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but do you think they were right to hold on to Sonny Gray?
Well, yeah, like you say, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If Leigh could have traded him at the end of 2015 when his stock was really high, that would have made sense, to be honest. But, you know, I think they looked at who else was on the market at the time and thought, let's hold him back, because it often can be the case where if you hold on to a guy, because he's still under contract for several years, you can sometimes get a better package at the trade deadline where teams are really going for it and are prepared to push the boat out to get that one starter who can push them over the top. So I think that was what the thinking was. And unfortunately, that was all undone by Gray's injury problems.
So this is, this is the first time in Billy Beane's tenure, isn't it, that he's done two losing seasons on the bounce?
Something like that, certainly, yeah. I mean, like I say, we tend to try and keep in somewhere near competitiveness. So if we do have a couple of young players really sprout up and some of the traded players coming in really do well, then we've still got a chance to maybe push on and get to the top. But, yeah, it's a difficult situation at the moment, all linked, to be honest, to our ballpark situation where we're trying to get a new ballpark. It's been ongoing for years, basically, and until that gets resolved, we're kind of in a holding pattern, really.
Is there any progress on it at all? Are they looking to build from new, or are they going to refurb the Coliseum?
So the sticking point, obviously, at the moment is that the Raiders, we share the Coliseum with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest, I don't really follow NFL much, so I'm probably going to go off on a tangent here because I don't know what I'm talking about in terms of NFL. But I think that are they wanting to go to Las Vegas? Am I getting that right? They're trying to move out, aren't they?
I believe the deal was signed for them to go there, but they're not going until 18 or 19, I think it is.
Yeah. So the idea was if the Raiders leave, then that makes it easier for the A's to renovate the Coliseum. If that's still up in the air, it sounds like they've got a couple of other places in Oakland they are potentially going to move to. So they've got a new guy in who's kind of running the show. He was behind, I think it was the San Jose Earthquakes, getting their stadium built in the area. So he's pledged recently that by the end of this year, they will be able to say, this is the the location for the new ballpark. So hopefully we are finally getting somewhere, but it's been a long time coming, and it really has held us back because we haven't wanted to. Whereas we've seen, for example, with the Atlanta Braves, they're moving into their new ballpark this year. So 3-4 years ago, they traded away pretty much everyone to build a team so that they can start to be competitive. Maybe a little bit this year, but especially from next year onwards, to go along with their new ballpark. And that's kind of what we've wanted to do. But because our target just keeps moving and moving and moving, we've just been sat in a holding pattern, really.
Yeah, and it's a shame for the team, because especially the fans as well, because they want to see this team progress. They want to see them do well and get back to those definite glory days of the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, then. So who's an outside player for the A's who's not being recognised for their talents?
So I've got a couple, really. Sean Manai, who we've talked about, I would put him in that list. I think he's a guy that scouts certainly kind of see him more as a back of the rotation starter, but he's a lot of fun to watch. He's kind of a tall, lanky lefty, and I do think he maybe can push on and maybe become not quite an ace, but maybe a two or three. So he's a guy to look out for. The other one I'm going to go for is our third base prospect called Matt Chapman. Now, it looks like he's probably going to start the season at AAA, but I would expect him to be called up at some point in the season. And you're probably going to see him on highlight packages when you do, because he hits for power, can hit a lot of long home runs, and he is fantastic at third base. A lot of the prospect lists over the offseason have said that he's got the best arm of any prospect in the minor leagues for a position player. He's that good. He's the sort of player who you can well imagine winning a gold glove at some point in his career. So the one thing with him is whether he's going to make enough contact to stay as a regular player, but he's certainly someone to keep an eye on as the season progresses.
Oh, excellent. Sounds like a young Pablo Sandoval, which is nice. Hopefully it doesn't come with the money.
yeah, and the waistline.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your one bold and wild prediction for this season then?
Okay, so my bold prediction for the A's involves Rajah Davis. So back in 2010, when he was with the A's, he stole 50 bases in a season, and that's still his career high. So I'm going to go for my prediction this year. I think he's going to hit the big 5-0 again this year in stolen bases.
Nice.
Which is a bit of a shout considering he's going to be 36 this year, but he did get 43 with the Cleveland Indians last year. And when you look at what he'll be on our roster, he's going to play pretty much every day, not in the lineup every single game, but he will be a regular in the lineup. He's probably going to be at the top of the lineup too, so that should give him some more opportunities to run. And basically, because we're not likely to be competitive, I would expect Bob Melvin, our manager, to basically give him a permanent green light, frankly. So he's going to be running wild. And so I definitely think 50 stolen bases could be on the cards for him this season.
Yeah, I think there's definitely potential there. He was in my my DB's League fantasy team last year, and he was fantastic for keeping the stolen bases coming for me. I was so happy to have him there. It'll definitely be fun to watch. I do enjoy watching him play. He's great. Okay, then. So on to our quick fire questions then. So on a night out then, who's going to get a kebab after the night out?
Okay, so I'm going to cheat a little bit with this one, but I'll explain why. I'm going to go for Billy Butler.
Okay.
Now, Billy Butler's not on our team anymore, which was one of the big, great things about last season, frankly. Praise the Lord, he's not on our team anymore. But his contract was so bad. We gave him a 3-year contract, and it's so bad that we've cut him with 1 year to go, and he's going to be paid $4 million more this year than our next best paid player, basically. So I think we can include him, and why he would get the kebab, basically, look at the size of him, frankly. I mean, you could well imagine Billy Butler sat on the side of the road, chomping into a kebab. It's all dribbling down his front, and he's kind of going to be looking dopily up at the surroundings and realising that everyone's gone off without him.
100% with you on that one. No arguments whatsoever. I like that. That's good. Who's going to claim not to have any cash then during the taxi ride home?
Yeah, this was a tricky one. I'm going to go for Jed Lowry. I may be off base with that, but he's a man who has made a decent amount of money in his time, and he just looks a bit of a skinflint, frankly. So I'm going to go Jed Lowry.
I'm good. I'm glad someone's just started basing it on their looks rather than any background, or they get paid a lot or anything like that. It's good. I like it. Okay, then. So who's going to stay in and watch the Great British Bake Off then instead of popping out?
Okay, well, this comes back to my view on Great British Bake Off. So we've got a relief pitcher called Ryan Dahl. So I'm going to go Ryan Dahl stays at home and watches Great British Bake Off.
Is that just purely based on his name?
Yep, purely based on his name.
See, I thought you would have gone with Billy Bean because he doesn't watch the games, according to the great film. But
Yeah.
So maybe I thought you'd go for him. So who's your nutcase then? Who's going to drive barefoot to Dundee like Partridge?
Well, obviously, being from Norwich, this is a question close to my heart. I think normally with Leeds, you're either going for a catcher or a relief pitcher because they tend to be at the madder end of the scale. So I'm going to go for Sean Doolittle. He's that sort of character, basically. He's a bit mad. And, yeah, I can well imagine him just jumping in a car with a bar of Toblerone and going off. And I guess the other Partridge link you could give to him is that he's got a good fastball, so he could be sat there saying, I've got cheese, just like Alan Partridge did.
Brilliant. Okay, then. So can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers you enjoy whilst following the team?
Yeah, certainly. So two of our best beat writers are actually female, so that's, you know, really good. Susan Slusser, who works for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Jane Lee, who is the MLB.com A's beat writer. They're really good, great to follow. And the main A's fan blog to follow is Athletics Nation. So they'd be the two ones I would keep out for.
Okay, cool. We'll give those a mention then when the podcast comes out. Right, I'd like to thank you all for joining us on this episode of Backflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Matt for joining me. Where can they find you, Matt?
So I'm on Twitter at MattBaseballGB. And obviously, my website is baseballgb.co.uk.
Yeah, as I said at the start, it's fantastic. Do go and check it out. It's very, very good. And the guides on there are very handy. I've been your host today, Tom Pringle. And you can find me on Twitter at PedroiasFace, second baseman of the Boston Red Sox. And you can contact the show on Twitter at @Batflips_nerds. On Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. And you can also find details about our blog on there. You can email us on tom@Batflipsandnerds.com. And we also have a brand new website which is launched on batflipsandnerds.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating. It makes it easier for folk to find our podcast. Also, tell your friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British. We do welcome all sorts. Once again, thanks for listening and goodbye.